All right. Good evening and welcome to the February meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board of the City of Morro Bay. Welcome. Before we begin, I want to make sure that we introduce our newest and seventh member. We finally have a full board. Mr. Dan Glessman. Is it Glessman or Glessman?
It's Glessman.
Glessman. Thank you. Dan, thank you for applying and your contribution, and welcome aboard.
Glad to be here.
All right, and call to order. We are all present and accounted for with the exception of Jane Wilsbaugh, who let us know she was unfortunately previously scheduled to be out of town. So, Jane, we'll miss you. And now if we can start with a moment of silence, please. Roger, go ahead.
I don't know whether this is the right time, but I have a question I'd like to ask Barry Dorfman about, if I can do so under...
Well, is it an announcement?
Well, he raised a question at the last city council meeting, and I just wanted to know if he ever got an answer. And it was about the liquid natural gas terminal prospect of coming to Morro Bay. And I was just curious as to whether or not you got an answer to that question, and if anything out there is for the public on that subject.
Well, I'll... In the spirit of announcements, you're asking me to announce if I got an answer. No, I haven't received any further information after my public comment alerting the council that this survey was going on.
Okay. What can we do to keep that in the public arena, if anything?
No, I was basically just following the agenda, waiting for announcements.
Yeah, or okay, so you don't want me to...
No, by all means.
Well, I don't think there's anything we do as a board because it doesn't fit with our charge. I think we have to act as individual citizens.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Noah, do you have any announcements?
Are we going to be talking about the trash cleanup events happening later on? Is that going to be part of the director's report? Okay.
Okay. Dan, this is a normal part of our meeting where members can bring announcements of activities or things they want to alert the public to, so it's just a little portion of the agenda where we can bring things to the public and the board's attention.
Okay. I have nothing at this time. Thanks.
Thank you. And Barry, nothing for you? Okay. Bill, go ahead, please.
As you may recall, last time on agenda items, I brought up the idea of getting our city council meetings and the meetings on the satellite television, because all those people with discs don't see it. Well, that's been solved. Now, that would be kind of expensive, I found out afterwards. So it's about the question. But Nancy Castle told me that in a couple of months, they'll be having all of our meetings on the Internet. So most of the people will be able to see them if we let them know they're on there. So
hopefully in another month or two, we'll have some announcements of what the website would be to be able to tune in and do that. That'd be excellent.
Is that going to be on live, or is this a replay for later times?
I think they do streaming, don't they?
I think they redo them, yeah. I think they rerun them.
We happen to have an AGP video personnel right here.
Good evening, everyone. Bob Lloyd with AGP Video. We are still in negotiations. We're talking about pretty much archiving the meetings so they would not be live initially. But we are looking at the capabilities of going live with that process. The archiving process is less expensive in equipment and technology than to actually broadcast them live. So we are kind of working towards an archive thing, which would be available 3 or 4 days after the meeting.
That would be the same for city council meetings.
3 minutes, and pursuant to the Brown Act, we're unable to discuss the matter, but we can agendize them for a future meeting. So if one of you would like to step up to the microphone, we don't have a long line of people, so please just come on up. Thank you. We won't bite. We're very friendly.
Hi, this is Ann Reisner. She's the president of Morro Bay Beautiful. I'm Ron Reisner. And you want me to just read this to the board?
Asked.
Okay.
Yeah.
To the Public Works Committee, this is just a note to let you know that Morro Bay Beautiful supports putting up two turkey crossing signs on Main Street.
Show this to the camera. We do have two.
Our recommendation is that one sign as you leave the entrance of the state park going north and the other at the curve of Shasta coming into Maine and going south. Morro Bay is such a cute town, a turkey crossing sign would just fit right in and help out our little friends. Right now, the male turkey walks out into the street, puffs himself up, fans his tail, and leads his harem across the street. Traffic stops in both directions, and nobody seems to mind. We've witnessed that any number of times ourselves. Morro Bay Beautiful is presenting you with two signs that we purchased in hopes of this happening. Do with them as you want. I would like to add that the signs are vinyl. Morro Bay Beautiful is prepared to put them on marine-grade aluminum, to bond them onto marine-grade aluminum, so that they can be mounted on any location that you deem appropriate.
Thank you very much.
And actually, before you move on, our board had considered talking about the Morro Bay Beautiful trash can beautification project, and would like to invite you guys to talk at any point about the program and let the public know what you're working on, because we were all excited.
It's on your agenda for the next meeting.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to that.
A presentation for the art camp.
Great. Okay.
Before you sit down, and what would you like us as a board to do with these signs or to do at all?
Well, I didn't know who to present them to, and you were recommended to me today to... We had already bought them because we thought this was a great idea.
It is a great idea.
Yeah. And
thank
then,
you.
Then Andreas told me that it was on your agenda tonight, and so that's why we're here.
What, the turkey
crossing? What would be on our agenda tonight?
That the turkey crossing signs were on your agenda tonight.
No, they're not. If they were, you wouldn't be able to speak in public comment.
Oh, okay.
Because we can't have public comment on things that are already on the agenda.
Okay. Well, am I in the right place?
Yeah, definitely. But you got misinformation because it's not on the agenda.
Okay.
So that was all. So it might have been a little confusion because...
So I will leave the signs with you, though.
Well, actually, to answer, we've talked about it a little bit, but we're not sure. So to answer your question is we don't really know what we'd like the board to do. We were just directed by certain members of city government to this board to address this issue. So I think what we would like to see happen, without regard to who does it necessarily, is to designate a location northbound and southbound for the signs to be put up, and then if the city wants help getting the signs mounted, we'd be happy to do that, or we'd be happy to get them mounted on, as I said, marine-grade aluminum.
Signage that may kind of present visual clutter to the traveling motorists. And one of the things we'll need to work with these folks is see how that corresponds to the policies in that program that was previously approved by the council. And if there are any other communications with other departments, we'll certainly feel free to pull them in. And then we'd be happy to get back to you after we've gotten a chance to get together and sort some of these things out.
Right.
Would it be appropriate as a board just to recommend that they make a presentation to the city council?
You know, I think they've been there under public comment a couple times.
One gentleman has, but I don't think he's connected with Morro Bay Beautiful.
We're kind of drifting off into gray area on protocol. What I was going to actually just clarify for these folks is that the Public Works Advisory Board is advisory, that all we could do is agendize this item for a later meeting and send our comments, basically our opinion to City Council, but they would have to be the authority to do it. We don't have the legal authority to say, yes, you can put the signs up or no, you can't. The City Council would need to either direct us formally to look at the matter or direct staff to look at it. But as an advisory board, we can only give recommendations one way or another, but we don't have the actual authority, the policy-setting authority, to say yes or no. Go ahead, Barry.
I just, because it's got tied up in process, and in a sense, you're at the right place because this is where things get discussed, but we can't trigger staff putting in time unless we're directed by the city council. staff can on its own as you go to staff and viewing under their purview of their job, they may, depending, can say, well, we'll work on, we'll put some staff time in because there are a lot of issues. How does it fit in with Caltrans and the current ordinances, et cetera? And then they would bring it to us. If staff says, well, you know, we're full up because the staff only has so much time, then it's the city council route. Or a hearing can always be held here, can always be agendized, but the it doesn't, in my view, that's usually after trying this, the city council, because that doesn't get you where you want to go. Because if it's just agendized on our own, we can't commit staff time. They don't report to us, nor should they. And so I think that Bruce Ambo indicated that he thought at least a quick look at where it fits is something within the purview of staff, and that gets it started. And that leads then to a good discussion here, I think, when it does get on the agenda.
Well, I would encourage you as a citizen to proceed because I think it'd be a colorful addition to our cultural heritage. A bit quirky, and Morro Bay can always use a little bit of quirkiness.
Oh, no, we've never been quirky, Roger, ever.
Well, the space in Morro Bay that I occupy is always quirky.
I'm joking completely.
I know you are. Anyway, do proceed because
we can agendize it as well for the next meeting to have that might be the best rather than leaving it here with us. I apologize that you might feel the sense that we're getting the runaround, but I don't want you to feel that if you leave the sign here that we have the authority to say yes. So I hope that helps a little bit and clarifies for you. And normally we're not really able to discuss things like that, but I really wanted you to understand. Actually, I'd really love it if you took them back to the city council. Have you been to the city council with them to... Okay, the best bet, I think,
we can still agendize it. It's whether staff, there's a number of questions that are going to have to be dealt with staff-wise, because the signage, it may not be safe because it looks too much like a traffic sign, how far from the road, is Caltrans involved, et cetera, how does it fit in with the ordinances, which someone who has the expertise will be able to do that fairly rapidly. And that's a useful time after that staff work is done. That staff work either gets triggered because the department feels it's they may have been directed to pursue a sign ordinance and implement and that kind of thing, and so they should be working on it. Or they may say, no, we can't, quite understandably. And then it's to the city council. Ask, starting with a public comment, you wanted to agendize it because you would like to the city to consider accepting this. And the city council would either say, well, no, we can't at this time, or let's refer to the Public Works Advisory Board and ask staff to give a report. And then you'd be where you want to be.
Okay.
At the risk of prolonging things, I got to tell you, turkeys are a problem at the parking lot at the men's colony where I work at the prison. They peck out people's grills because they go after the insects, you know, and the wild turkeys. But we think it's cool.
No comment from me at all.
Yes.
I can hear the turkeys from my house, and I usually walk, so they don't seem to bother me at all. Okay. Was there any other public comment? No. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for coming, please. But accept that because we don't usually get guests, and we do appreciate the comments. Moving on to item number 7, consent calendar, approval of minutes from January 17th. Has everybody looked at the minutes, and are there any corrections that need to be made? Anybody? Going once, going twice? We have a movement. We have a movement. Is everybody okay with the minutes? Is that a consensus? Thank you. Minutes accepted as written. And now on to item number 8, director's report and information, no action required. And which staff member would like to begin this evening?
Your choice.
Mr. Boucher, you spoke. It's you, sir.
Sorry. That's gotten me in trouble more than once before,
hey,
Madam Chair,
I assure you. I can empathize. I really can.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. Tight schedule, deadlines. We have another one coming up where the overall project now has to be under contract by the end of June of this year. So we're proceeding, finalizing the plans and specifications to meet that schedule. It takes about 3 months from the time you advertise to the time you actually enter into a contract. The major thing that I need to do on the specifications is to work the language out so that after the contract is awarded and the we enter into the contract with all the bonds and insurance, that we don't start right away. We don't want to break ground in July at that intersection. So I need to build in language into the specifications that we delay the start until after the summer season is over. Similar situation on the Harbor Walk project. The deadline to be under a construction contract is the end of June of this year. As I told you last month, we received the comments from the Coastal Commission on our plans. We have modified the plans and made clarifications to the plans in certain areas that we thought shouldn't be changed but needed to be clarified. We sent that back to them and later in January, and we've not heard yet. Send messages periodically, and I've let them know that, again, in order to be under contract by the end of June, that we need to be out to bid by mid-March, so we're starting to kind of compress it a little bit. Yes, sir.
Do we have a timeline for construction of the Harbor Walk that we are obligated by in any way?
Once the contract is awarded, once we meet that criteria, then we have 2 years to expend the funds. So, but that the operant, the next hot deadline is the contract award.
Okay, thank you.
Waterside, I wanted to talk a little bit about water system operations. I won't get too much into the nitrate notification plan because that's an item that will be coming back to you next month. Maybe I should just say it. This board took action last month at our behest on a proposed plan. Subsequent to that, I had a number of other discussions, not the least of which was with my wife's doctor's office. And because of the linchpin of the previously proposed program was to have the doctors do the direct contacting
the
secondary, that isn't going to work.
Did they
out.
Refuse to cooperate with you, Bill?
No. They just said that they couldn't assure that they would drop everything they were doing to make these contacts. You get to the point where you really don't argue the point with them because they'll do what they feel they need to do. So with all due respect to what the action that the board took, by the time we got to council 3 weeks later, we had more complete information. So we had revised the recommendation. I've included the staff report in your package, and we'll be coming back. I anticipate that I'll have at least a draft, a skeletal format of the actual step-by-step procedures for discussion at the next meeting.
I have two comments. One, I think that's very good that it's a draft and not final, because there's And I think the community owes you some recognition of thanks for it. With
some?
That 24 hours, you know. Well, a great deal. You understand what I'm saying.
Definitely.
I just wanted to repeat that when I had the more time.
Thank you. And I do want to thank you for your comments at the meeting. I think they were very well considered, particularly the comments on the expertise. We had kind of a miscommunication. We had we thought we had the county health department to do a presentation at the council meeting, but we had missed communications in there. We had discussed the advantages of having Dr. Thomas do the presentation versus a technical staffer. And so they weren't there, and we have since sent a formal request to the Health Department to have Dr. Thomas do a presentation for the City Council and the public on the subject, and I hope that that will occur in March.
I hope he does too, because I think that level will have the nuance of sensitivity to the community rather than just basically reading a fact sheet.
Right. And that's, and you're absolutely right. That's the level of expertise that the public deserves to hear from a medical professional, not from a water operations person. Yes, sir.
Is this the moment to ask a question about the potable water production and a couple of other things?
I can go through those, but yeah, sure.
It says total January water production was approximately 103 acre feet, and we were short in delivery by 18 acre feet.
No, we were not.
It says total state water deliveries for the month were about 85 acre feet.
That is correct.
Isn't normal 103?
What we're doing, and you go down to the next one, that's what I wanted to get into more detail on, is the water operations.
Ah, okay.
What we're doing right now is we have requested a reduction in the amount of state water being delivered to the community, and we are operating two wells in the Chorro Valley, wells 11A and 16. Those were the two wells that seemed to be the least susceptible to the elevated nitrate levels. And what we're doing at this point is we are running those wells. We are monitoring the nitrate levels in the wells and in the blended water supply at the King's Tank in the effort to make a determination as to what extent we can rely on those two particular wells for this year's shutdown. As we proceed along through the spring, as the operational scenarios, as we gather the data, I'll bring that to the board, and we'll talk about how we intend to approach the November shutdown. Because clearly, having the knowledge of what we experienced last year, certainly the prime objective is to avoid any such reoccurrence. And I wanted the board and the public to be aware of the efforts that we're trying to pursue in order to assure to the highest level possible that we will not have a recurrence.
So, in other words, the shortage is at our request and not state.
That is correct.
Thank you.
The state could provide virtually any amount at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
I should note that we are monitoring the nitrate levels, and right now the blended supply at the last sampling was 11 milligrams per liter, which is the levels are at their lowest, so we get the least quantity, and the quality has degraded to a point. What we're hoping to be able to do is move the giant state machine to have this two-week shutdown to occur in a time of the year what's more advantageous to our community, not for convenience, clearly, but it's for health and safety issues, to move it to February or March, where, number one, where state water isn't as critical of a quality component as it is during the later part of the year. I would suspect that there'll be some bureaucratic inertia involved in this. I suspect that it's been done. It's being done in November because it's always been done in November. But that's another item that I'll keep the board up to date on. There's a subcommittee that the Water Resources, Advisory Committee has formed regarding CCWA membership, and we're also talking about the shutdown period along with that.
Bill, on that, can I ask a question? Do you think that the health issue is going to give us a little more ammunition to try to convince the state to adjust the timing on that? I know convenience, they're not even going to listen to us.
If it doesn't, nothing will. Because not only us, but there was at least one community in Santa Barbara County that had nitrate problems as well. So it's not just the voice of a couple of relatively small communities, but the State Health Department, the Office of Drinking Water, is motivated as well for the public health standpoint to exert influence on their fellow state agency to do it, if it's feasible. There may be some components that we're not aware of.
Sure.
There is the Barenda Mesa Irrigation District, which is also connected to the stub of the aqueduct that we connect to. We need to make sure, since they get about three times the water, that doesn't unduly interfered with their operations. So there's a number of moving parts, but we're certainly moving forward with that with all due speed.
And how often are the monitoring going on right now?
Right now, we're monitoring on a monthly basis. In the event that any of the sources increase to 30 milligrams per liter, we'll increase the frequency so as to be in a better position. We are blending with state water. We know state water is quite low in nitrates as a surface water. So there is, I won't say forgiveness, but there's the wells aren't our only source, so we can operate the wells and get the data without undue concern of elevated levels. At this point,
elevated levels in the mixed water.
In the
is
mixed
what
water.
You're saying. In other
that's
words,
correct.
The if a well goes way up, the mixed water is not going to go up that much.
That's
and
correct.
So,
that's correct. We're running
you'll detect
about
that the well went up and then tend to business. I think
right.
The, that was important to
as,
to
and
understand
as you can see,
the cushion.
And as Roger pointed out, if you just work out the percentage, we're running about 80% state water and 20% well water right now. So, it's not – so as you point out, if the well water nitrate levels rise, the overall blend won't rise nearly as quickly with that. Dr. Thomas to address – as whether to what extent nitrates are a potential indicator of other contaminants, and so that hopefully that's something that he'll be able to bring to the table for us in the near future.
And as far as an update of the current testing procedure, because the city has one with the herbicides and pesticides, will that be part of the discussion for next month?
Oh, it certainly can. Our next overall testing cycle, which includes the herbicides and pesticide series of volatile and synthetic organic compounds, is scheduled for this May.
Mm-hmm. It's from what I've been hearing, it's something that we test for every 3 years.
That's correct.
Is that considered? Are we considering increasing the testing for the herbicides and pesticides as we go into these periods where we're going to be relying on the wells more and gathering some of the data along those lines to identify potential connections and further problems? Because if we are blending, if there are high levels of herbicides or pesticides, it potentially could be a problem that we should be aware of. And I know there's a lot of concern out there.
Yeah, that's something that we should have due discussion on. I'm not prepared to discuss it tonight. I do. I think it should be worth noting that how the testing and the sampling regulations are established is that it's kind of a multi-stage. We performed a drinking water source assessment plan, where we identified all the different sources of our drinking water, including the state project, including each of the individual wells. And we did an analysis of what the environmental conditions were in the area. Is there industry, what commercial, residential septics, agriculture, what type of agriculture, is it range, is it fruit trees, is it intensive row crop? And then based upon that, we do a out of the results of the drinking water assessment comes a vulnerability assessment. And these all go through the Office of Drinking Water. So what we do at that point, or we did at that point, is we look at what types of constituents is the system vulnerable to. And then based upon that vulnerability assessment, then the EPA and the state come up with these testing protocols of what we sample for on what sort of frequency. So that's the menu that we're provided for the testing protocols, but I'll be in a position to talk about that in more detail.
So we could potentially, because I assume that this is the voluntary or the vulnerability assessment has been done
yes.
at a time where we didn't realize just how much of a challenge we have with our nitrates, and so.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say that.
That's been done recently.
Well, the local groundwater has been high in nitrates since before I was here. So it's not a new situation. What's new is that for now almost 10 years, we've had state water, and that we haven't had the water quality issues relating to nitrates that we had in the past. It wasn't that long ago where nitrates were a weekly and monthly challenge all year round, particularly in the post-drought era when it was exacerbated by no rain leaching the contaminants out. And we're in the cycle now where we're breaking down the high-pressure pumps, servicing the pumps, rebuilding some of them. Within the next couple of weeks, they'll be put back together. We'll get into the cleaning cycle. We're looking at, in anticipation of a worst-case scenario, we're looking at a couple of different methods to increase the production from the facility in order to not only augment the groundwater supply as we have used it for in previous years, but to also use it to clean up the nitrates as we did last year. So it's kind of morphing into a dual-purpose facility of not only providing replacement water but cleaning up the existing supply. So, and it'll do that well. And we're trying to finalize the plan of attack to get that ready for the fall.
Another brief question, please, only for an uneducated person. What does DCEL plant energy recovery system? What does that?
Well,
does that
what
mean?
What that is when it takes quite a bit of energy to force the water through the reverse osmosis membranes. And under seawater conditions, it runs at about 900 pounds per square inch. You lose 10 to 15 to 20 PSI at the back end of the membranes. And what the energy recovery system would do, so you push the water in at 900 PSI, and the wastewater comes out the other end at, say, 880 PSI. And what the energy recovery system would do is to take that, the energy of that water coming at 880 PSI, and with a small increase in power to get it to boost it back up to 900, would then be capable of running a second train or a second rack of membranes. So you could, in effect, almost double the production of one of the production units with only a small incremental increase in the amount of energy used, and then the overall production becomes more efficient.
Very good. Thank you.
So we're doing that, too.
And that's very close. Oh, I just have one more.
I'm sorry, I get confused with the stapling methodology on these sometimes. I do have several more, actually. The request for proposals for the fire department phase two, which is the administration and the living quarters component of the Harbor Street Station, that's out on the street now. That's advertised with the proposals due on March 30th. Not only as of this writing, but as of today, we have not received the plans from the architect for the Bonita Street or Station 54 apparatus bay. Again, we've got grant deadlines on that, and when I've already told the contractor that take your time, you've got till the end of June to finish. So the longer it takes them on the plans, the less time they have to build. I've been on the San Luis drainage reevaluation, which is the selenium, selenium disposal item. I saw the news report, as many people did, that the selected option was an in-valley, but looking at the Federal Register, familiar with in kind of a public process, where a preferred alternative is selected, and that's the one you're going to do. Apparently, in this sort of thing, where it's done by one of the departments of the federal government, the head of the department makes a decision on which of the alternatives is actually going to be pursued. And at that point, my part is done.
Any questions for Bill before he wraps up? No takers. Okay. Janine or Frank, who would like to go next?
Reverse alphabetical order.
Let me step up.
All right.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'll be brief because I don't have near quite as much going on. Top of page 2 out of 4, right at the very top, I noted that, you know, the street crews, you know, this is wintertime. We're out there trying to evaluate storm drains. We're cleaning stuff up. And in this particular situation where I noted that crews completed a project to pipe, you know, including a head wall, what we had here was some water coming off of Mimosa down a little V-ditch, basically entered into Caltrans right away, into open channels. You know, open channels nowadays, you know, you realize are starting to kind of get into the NPDES violations, moving sediment and so on and so forth. That open channel goes through Caltrans 41, goes under some pipes under Highway 41, goes right into Miners, you know, Ace Hardware. Ace Hardware is, you know, upgrading their entire storm system, including oil-water separator. So they've got a very, what I'd call, sophisticated system to really purify the water before it discharges into Morrow Creek. So in essence, everybody was kind of noticing where the weak link is up through that line, and the weak link was kind of between the city's V-ditch and partially through the state right-of-way. So what we did is we went in there and basically connected a pipe and a head wall from the V-ditch over to the Caltrans pipes just to mitigate that problem. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. It was actually a pretty clean, fun little project for the street guys as well as the CMC crews to get in there and place a pipe and bury it and have some fun other than just fixing potholes.
Quick question, Frank, please.
Sure.
What does NPDES stand for?
Please? National Pollution Discharge Elimination System.
I'm sorry, I asked.
It's new Regional Water Quality Control Board, you know, trying to go after stormwater and trying to clean up the stormwater so it's not carrying contaminants into the storm system and into the bay and into the ocean and creeks and so on and so forth.
Okay. Thank you very much.
It's definitely our future. Down at the bottom of page 204, very bottom, I made note of some new sidewalks. They're along the new motel there next to Motel 6, and that involved a handicap ramp there in the Caltrans right-of-way. I also, since that time, if you've noticed this week, on Morrow and Driftwood, they're starting to finish up the two projects there on Morrow between Driftwood and Marina. They've taken down the chain link fence, so there's, you know, oh boy, we're starting to get some more sidewalk and a couple more ramps and, you know, all that good stuff. Let's see, Street Crews 2, if you've noticed in the last couple of days, my two street crew guys have been downtown in the central business area. Let's see where we might be able to spend some money. Page 3 of 4, actually on the MTB, I really didn't have any reportable information. The consultants for the Shell Equan are still out there wanting to do some further tests to evaluate the MTBE, so hopefully in the next month or so we'll get the results back for that. On page 4 of 4, in bold print, sorry, I was trying to have some fun with that. The bike path through the Quintana Main project is open as of the day before Valentine's Day. And then at the bottom of 4 of 4, just to keep you apprised, we, you know, again, through the wintertime, you know, a lot of these Monterey pines, cypresses, are very old trees. They're starting to reach the end of their life expectancy with winter and everything else. When they get to their end of their life expectancy, they pretty much go pretty darn quick. So I noted down here, just for your information, that there's actually 6 trees that recently that we've posted, got little or no comments on them because they were pretty dead. And so we are in the process of taking out those 6 trees and then trimming up a couple more. So with that said, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Do we have places and or trees that are going to replace?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, where we take out a tree, we will make every effort to replace a tree. And I don't see in any of those situations where there isn't a problem. If by chance we're putting a tree back in there and a neighbor comes out and, you know, really doesn't want one, then again we'll defer back to our, you know, want a tree list.
Doing?
I haven't checked lately. You know, it's not that often that we're not able to get a tree back in where we took one out. Mm-hmm. So I really don't draw on it that often.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Frank, I have a question. On On the trees that are being removed, are they going down to the stump when they're done?
We're kind of playing that by ear. The bids that I got usually include removal of the tree, hauling the lumber away, and grinding the stump. So I usually take a look at the situation. If it's in an area with a bunch of ivy and, you know, it's on a hillside and there's no harm in leaving the stump, I tend to leave the stump because it helps stabilize the embankment and no harm, no foul. But if it's, you know, if it's in a tree well and a, you know, city sidewalk, I pretty much got to take the stump out. Keep in mind, I usually have to wait a month or two after cutting the tree down before the tree companies will come back and grind out the stump. It's just too hard right after you take the tree out to grind it out. So there is a little bit of a due process. So don't panic if you see a tree stump sitting out of a concrete, you know, tree well and it hasn't been ground yet. It will get done.
Okay. Yeah, it's nice to see the city taking advantage of the benefits of the tree mulch in the landscape. Been impressed with the projects lately on the way into town. And other mulching projects.
I'll take credit for Caltrans's work. Thanks.
But I've been seeing the city using more of it around.
The Chamber of Commerce and Morro Bay Beautiful have had the Morro Bay Yard Sale the Saturday and Sunday just prior to that. There were some issues last year, apparently, with it being on Easter, so they've moved the date up for their yard sale. And this year it will be on March 31st and April 2nd, which is a couple of weeks before the city's spring cleanup week. If anyone has any questions about the spring cleanup week, what kinds of things can be put out, how much, that sort of thing, you can contact the Morro Bay Garbage Service. And I have a telephone number. That's 543-0875. And that's for Morro Bay Garbage Service with questions about spring cleanup week. For the yard sale, if you are interested in information about getting on the map of locations for the yard sales, you can contact Morro Bay Beautiful at 772-8117. And then for all of other information on the yard sale, you can contact the Chamber of Commerce at 772-4467.
Janine, excuse me.
Sure.
Is the city going to put a notice in the paper on this?
The garbage company sends out a notice in their bills, and they're going to be doing that again this year. I also put something on the local government channel on the community calendar that has that information. And this will also, I'll mention it again at next month's meeting as well, because the yard sale was happening earlier. I wanted to put it in this meeting as well, so people would be aware of that. So there will be some advertisement for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Quickly, I again would like to announce and encourage people to go in their new phone book, or actually the old phone books as well, the AT&T phone book. This year's has a yellow deluxe woody cab, surfboard on top. Anyway, back there on page 564, there's a tab that you can fold out and get yourself to the county recycling pages put together by the Integrated Waste Management Board Authority, and it has a lot of information about what you can do potentially for different materials that that you may find in your garage and home, and it has some great details of where to take these materials, who might be interested in them, and occasionally you can find information about people that would actually come to your home to pick up some of these things. So I encourage you to check it out and fold your tab out here so you can find it easily.
Moving on to transportation, actually transit, just a couple of items. The North Coast Transit Plan that this board reviewed in December went to the City Council on January 16th, where they adopted it, along with all of the recommendations that staff and the Public Works Advisory Board were recommending they approve. They also added a couple of other items, one specifically with coming up with some sort of youth pass for the summertime for the Dial-A-Ride and trolley, which I think was something that was talked about or mentioned at this board. And some of those recommendations will be started pretty much now, things having to do with some of the marketing issues and some changes to kind of some of the dispatching that was going on. Some of the other items are to be done in future years, so we'll be moving along with that. The triennial performance audit is a Transportation Development Act, just so that you have some information. a lot of it you've already kind of seen with the North Coast plan, because there is some performance measures that were worked on in that plan. So some of it will be familiar. The couple of other items were some grant applications, state transit assistance projects, and the Rural Transit Fund grant. Every year in December, the city submits applications for the Rural Transit Fund grant. This is money that comes to the region that we compete for with the Regional Transit Authority as well as the county. It's for small rural areas, so the North County, which has now become urbanized, and San Luis Obispo County aren't eligible for these funds. And they're for capital projects only, so we're pretty limited in what we can apply for. This year, the Council of Governments in their February meeting approved projects, and some of the city's projects were included with that: a new dial-a-ride vehicle, some backup communications equipment for the transit office and the dial-a-ride vehicles, equipment and tools for the mechanics, and some partial funding for a generator project for the transit office. With the state transit assistance projects, this is $1.5 million, unexpected additional dollars that was coming to this region for this fiscal year. And the Council of Governments did a call for projects, and the board has approved funding for a portion of those funds. They wanted to withhold about $600,000 of those funds for next fiscal year, because there's some rumblings from the state that the Transportation Development Act funds are not going to be at the level that they are currently, and the board wanted to hold some money back to see whether that was going to happen and be able to backfill it so that we wouldn't see any large decreases. The city did have some projects that were recommended for funding. Funding for a new vehicle to augment a previous award with Rural Transit Fund grant, as well as for funding some computer equipment and a 12-month pilot program to reinstate the driver lunch coverage hours for the dial-a-ride service. And that would be for the fiscal year 07-08 period. And we would do a little bit of outreach to the current riders to let them know that that's the case, so that they can start calling in during the lunch hour on Saturdays or during the week and be able to get a ride.
Janine, what's the status, or how does it look for Morro Bay to get that $561,000 that SLOCOG authorized?
Of the $561,000, there's projects listed in further down in that paragraph of what the board did award.
Definite?
This is definite. We're not receiving $561,000. That was the total amount for the region available.
Oh, that's what I wanted to know. We are getting those,
yes.
Those things that you have. Very good. Yes. Thank you.
And one final item I have is just an update. It's not listed in here. It's on the joint transit request for proposals that I had mentioned in a previous meeting. The cities of Paso Robles, Atascadero, the Regional Transit Authority, the South County Area Transit, and some of the county services in Napo. So we've decided to go ahead and participate in that. If in the end it doesn't work out, the city can always reject the proposals, and we have extensions in our current agreement that are available, and we can do that. So we thought it was a good opportunity to go put something out, see what we could get back. And if it's to our liking, move forward with that. And if it's not, then to continue with the existing agreement. The RFP went out on February 9th. We had a pre-bid meeting today with several proposers, which also included some site visits out to all of the different transit offices and maintenance facilities and yards that occurred over yesterday and today. Bids are due on March 23rd, and this board will be doing a review of the proposals with a recommendation to the council in your April meeting for the council to see that on April 23rd. So with that, that's all I have, unless you have any other questions or comments.
Anyone? Questions for Janine? Looks clear.
Excellent report.
Thank you very much, Janine.
All three of you.
That's kind of unusual. There's no questions.
Okay, we're going to move on to item number 9, which is new old business, and there is none. So that makes it a very fast item. The next one is new business number 10, election of chair and vice chair. If the public doesn't know, the terms on the board are from January 31st, and the February meeting, we are presented with our new members and with Dan joining me down a couple seats to my right. And then we elect a new chair and vice chair from within the body. So that is where we are now. And what I'd like to call for is nominations for chair for Public Works Advisory Board.
I would like to nominate that we continue the same chair and vice chair as we had at the present time.
That sounds good.
I decline nomination for chair. Thank you.
Well, that bombs that.
Yeah, well, the reason being, because I've been asked, the reason being is this is my last year on the board, and I think that it's time people to get some experience, and I think I'd enjoy sliding down the table and mentoring where I can and assisting, and frankly, Barry's done a great job as vice chair, backing me up a few meetings, and if no one else is going to jump on it, I'd like to nominate Dr. Dorfman for chair. And if there's any other nominations, I'd like to get all those out first.
Second the nomination.
Is there a vote for Dr. Dorfman? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I believe that was unanimous.
Will Barry accept?
Will you accept?
Yes, I will.
I didn't nominate him without asking if he was willing to.
You know me well enough. I'll speak up.
He's going to be here next year.
I won't do that. Okay, and if you don't mind, I'll just finish up with nominations for vice chair, and then we'll just trade over. All right, nominations for vice chair, please. Anyone? You know I speak last as chair, or at least try to.
I'll nominate Noah Smuckler for vice chair, please.
Noah, you accept nomination?
I'd have to decline.
I know Noah discussed that with me.
Then I'll nominate Jane...
Wills Bach.
Thank you.
And I had also asked Jane the ropes and try to understand the needs and restrictions that staff has to work with, time and money and legalities. It's not always easy to convince people that there are those things, but there really are. And hopefully there's been a balance of trying to assist the public and knowing that there's a place for their participation, trying to explain to them how things are limited by laws. We can't just change those, and also encourage input and try to bring people into this. So it's been a pleasure, and I am delighted, and thank you for allowing me to serve you. And Dr. Dorfman.
Well, miss you.
Yeah, thank you, Vicki.
How about since we're right here, how about we switch name tags so we don't have to swap them out? Is that easier?
I'll be Miss Vicki.
Before you two get into switching seats, et cetera, I'd just like to say thank you, Vicki. I'm a fairly new member, only 1 year, and it hasn't been an easy one for you to have me sitting here. I know, and I recognize that. But you've been very patient with all of us, very open to accepting our points of view, and you served us all very well as chair, and proud to have served with you, and thank you.
Thank you, Roger. And thank you, and thank you also to all of the previous board members who tolerated me. This is my 7th year on PWAB, and Bill's been here with me the entire time, as well as the staff members here, and I've really enjoyed it. You've been a great help, and it's been a great learning process for me, and I'm looking forward to this next year and my efforts. I'm branching off into other areas of the city. I'm not going away. I'm just serving in a different area, so thank you.
Well, thank you. I want to thank everyone. I read our bylaws to check. There's no impeachment proceeding. So I hope it won't come to that.
We're going to have to double check that.
So you're stuck. And I also would like to thank Vicki. I don't know, for those who have been new, her 2-year stint was during a rocky time when membership so waxed and waned, it was hard to keep some continuity. And I think your style of leadership really kept us going to now where we have consistent membership, people coming, and all the time. So there gets a rhythm to the meetings and the interaction with staff, and I think we get more done. I also have, if you notice, tend to sometimes cross T's, dot I's, and I've learned a lot. I certainly intend to continue the style that the approach you set for especially public comment and our public hearings that we, in the absence of having the city attorney here, we can be a little looser with 3 minutes or maybe drift off to get something done, see where it goes, and then we don't have to return to it or we know how to proceed. And I certainly intend to continue that. And unless anyone feels strongly, I felt very comfortable with the moment of bring up items.
I do know. I'm sorry, I got used to saying Madam
Chair. If you tell us items you know of likely for next month.
The initial draft of the nitrate notification plan.
Okay.
And an item that just came up, perhaps a modification of the bylaws. Oh, just kidding. That was a joke.
You're so
touche.
But yes, the first discussions on
actually,
the nitrate plan.
Actually, that's very encouraging because it means you were listening. See, someone was listening, and I think under the nitrate plan, as we discussed, will be a wide-ranging discussion because it bring up the herbicides and the notification. It's just the name it's gotten. Frank or Janine, do you have anything in your dockets you think are coming up next month?
I have nothing scheduled per se for March. The joint transit RFP award would be something that would come to your April meeting.
April.
So unless something were to come up between now and when the agenda goes out, there's nothing in my corner.
And I might jump in and kind of start a little discussion here. First off, I probably should apologize. If you note back in the minutes of last meeting, there was several future agenda items tossed out. Now, what I tried to do is I tried to get a hold of, of Vicki prior to writing the agenda because at the time, I read all those, but I wasn't sure that they were, that it was very clear that those were board-driven, non-staff time items. So with not getting a hold of Vicki in time and getting that clarified, I sort of left those off. And so those certainly, you've got some items on there that you guys have, it's almost like the Wi-Fi, so there are things that you guys may want to discuss and go through the process, and that does sort of lead into why I believe Mr. Ambo is here tonight to kind of clarify some of the ins and outs and processes by which board items rather than this and that go through us to City Council and so on and so forth. So
I want to say that Vicki communicated to us the misunderstandings all cleared up. We understand to all of us and understand. And I knew that potentially was coming. That's why I made some of my remarks earlier about the process having been on that side of the table at times. I understood, but welcome, and such as we are, you saw how, maybe you've been, through the director's report. Sometimes it looks like, we're peppering them, but I've found it, I don't know how, it takes time, but it ends up being educational because of the different questions people ask and for the public, because sometimes I've been asked, and we really appreciate your suffering through what about this or that, but it fills things out. And I also think that staff show, I do want to say good, when I first came, why are they telling us all this? It's going fine, but I've appreciated that.
We want to talk about, it may be a month, it may be 2 months, it may be 3 months, but we'd like to maybe come back to them. I did also clarify through council members and had a call into the city attorney, checked with our bylaws that we were in fact, able to do that only because the Brown Act prohibits us from discussing issues. There were issues the board wanted to discuss, and sometimes it's for knowledge for the board. And being able to discuss it legally, it had to be on the agenda. And it has always been with, was always in my intention to not take staff's time for that discussion. You know, I've heard many of the concerns, you know, of Mr. Ambo, who spoke with me this morning. I've had a couple phone calls with Frank. I will say that when you called me to try to reach me, I got the email from Kimberly with the agenda about the same time that you were trying to call me. So I'm fairly certain the agenda was already printed at that point. But we try to make sure that we serve counsel first, but what we are supposed to be doing, a two-way communication, and filter things from the public that come through us and try to screen out things that aren't static for the council before council has to hear it. I'm not a big supporter of saying, oh, that's a good idea, let's toss it off to council, and giving it to somebody else to do work. I'm also not big on saying, that's a great idea, let's just do it, knowing that the ramifications for staff could be hundreds and hundreds of hours of work to actually accomplish that. I've always tried to be sensitive to that. So, you know, just in defense of the items that we had, some of them were going to be down the road quite a bit just because of time and things. So I just wanted to state it was always my intention to allow future agenda items to be initiated from the board, but to do it, you know, in a metered way. I think this last motion that we had last month that we passed was the first time that something that came through the public was initiated and processed by the board in the 7 years I've been here. And so I don't think we've gone over the line with that.
And are you speaking about the Wi-Fi?
Well, actually, by the time we got done discussing it, it wasn't just Wi-Fi, broadband. It was broadband, because the balance of Wi-Fi or fiber optic.
Do you know if it's been sent to the council, as we suggested?
The motion, the memorandum that I sent to council served as sending our motion to them, yes. I was told by staff that, you know, that they couldn't take the time to do that because it wasn't initiated by them. So I respected that and confirmed legally that I wasn't out of line by sending that memorandum. It had already been voted on. It was already in our legal minutes. It was just a matter of sending the document through the city clerk to the council. So I definitely wanted to make sure that I was not out of line in doing that, and that's why I sent a copy to everyone so that
let's see what Mr. Ambo has to say.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, I'd be happy to give you a little background perspective, and maybe we're pretty conversant with the council policies, and almost reconfirm them with council every meeting that we have. And just to start up, the whole purpose of this is to allow us to serve the community, and those priorities have been set by the council. And because we've had quite a bit of projects that are time critical in terms of use the money or lose the money, we've had to prioritize, and it's our job as staff in order to allow the council and the community to know how to succeed in accomplishing the priorities they've set, is to lay out some structured format to work from. And that's what our mission is to really let us help you do what you think is best for the community as set forth from the council. So we'd be happy to do whatever the council would like us to in any order, but the only thing that we always ask is, what is that order, so that we have a framework to work from in a logical standpoint. And one of the is, you may or may not know, you have quite a long list of capital improvement projects that are forthcoming. Many of them will come to you, and many of them won't, because some of them are just system maintenance. And you've got some of the other things that you see on your agendas that are coming forward. You've got the nitrate notification program. You've got the parking management plan that's coming back through you, and there are some other items. But one of the things that I wanted to bring to your attention is that it is important from staff's perspective, if we see that there's an item that has policy or cost implications, we will try to alert your committee at that time to the extent that we are aware of them. In the case of the Wi-Fi situation, we really, really weren't aware of them, and we haven't been given any direction from the council to study that. So in those situations where we really don't know enough about it and haven't been given direction, those things may, we understand the imperfect world of how human beings interact, those things may be a topic of one of your discussions. But what may happen is when, if it does surface to the council, and the council does decide they want to agendize it because they have a very formal process of deciding if they want to put it on the agenda, and if they do, if they want to spend a certain amount of staff time to study that, then we will have to look into it and do our best within the short time frame to kind of give them a quick assessment on what the implications are, if there is any implications on city policies or that can impact other ordinances. And the difficulty in sending something up that way without staff involvement is that when it gets there, we may have to say at that moment, after everybody spent a lot of time and energy and generated some amount of misunderstanding perhaps, that there may be some implications that may have to come back through. Or we may just say, well, that's fine. Do you want us to work on the Wi-Fi and skip working on the fire station? Let me, and while I'm here, I'll give you a good example. One of the projects that's also forthcoming on your work program is the Green Accords. The council adopted that and said, well, we'd like to participate in the Green Accords. And the council said, well, let's do that. But one of the unintended consequences of signing up to the Green Accords was this program of reporting and giving in the, and conducting a community assessment that really wasn't disclosed, to, in our opinion, to the council or the public at the time when it was decided to go forward with the program. We disclosed the amount of energy and time that we put into it. At the time, we put in probably 40 to 80 hours worth of work. That may have been spent perhaps by council,
and it didn't get there. So what?
Oh, no,
just
no,
so
it,
I can understand why, what we did wrong, if anything.
No, it is going to council. All I'm saying is that the only disconnect that there perhaps may be is if the council decides to take this further, then we will look into it and do some form of a policy analysis to see what the implications are. And at this point, we don't know enough about it. And it, had we known earlier on and they had said so, we would have been able to provide that to you on the front end. And all I'm highlighting is you can do that. It's just I just want to inform you that don't be surprised if we encounter some difficulties or unforeseen circumstances when the council's considering it.
Yeah, if and I would like to follow up just to clarify to make – I think I have a pretty decent understanding, but I'm now a little – confused because I thought I understood. I wasn't here, but I saw the correspondence and spoke just to one other person, to Vicky, about it. One, everything we do goes to the council because there's minutes. Now, I think through this was very good because Vicky developed the mechanism if we as a board, something that we're initiating, so that staff is being insubordinate if they start, and it sounds petty, but it's not, to say, no, we're not authorized to spend this time, you know, with an additional letter other than the minutes we're charged to keep. Vicky developed the mechanism of sending a memo to the council highlighting, you know, if you don't happen to read our minutes, which I should have thought of before, because sometimes a board, they say, didn't you talk about this at PWAB? A council member will say to me, and I say, yes, we did, and we passed a motion. Didn't you see it in our minutes? And they say, wait, we don't read every every line of every minutes. So we have that mechanism. And that I would ask it, I think, the sense I got from the minutes and about Wi-Fi was it was to get it on the council's radar and no expectation that you would do any work or it was up to the council if they think this is more important than other things, but it gets it on the radar. Does that, but I want to ask, does, I didn't think it did, but that does put you in any way in an embarrassing position if they ask you about it? at council, and you haven't staffed it because you shouldn't staff it?
Well, oh no! If they ask, if they put it on the agenda, then we will have to look into it. And there is a certain amount of work that we will.
So we just want them to receive the communication, and if some council member wishes to talk about it, gets it more in the radar, and gets steam. And there's nothing to prevent this board from 6 months later asking the individual who presented it if anything's happened, just like you asked me about that thing I said that's not our purview.
Yeah, but my understanding was, and correct me if I'm wrong, the motion was rather simple. It was to request from the city council that the PWAB unanimously would like the city council to...
As a document. So he let me know that the best mechanism for this board to do something like that would be somebody to draft up a memo to council and send that off. So I made sure that that was something that I could do as the chair without, you know, agendizing it again to discuss it. And I made sure that, no, we voted on it. It was in the minutes. I copied it directly from the minutes and just sent it as a memo to the council as a flag. This is what we intended to do, you know, to send this to you. So they have that information.
So
you know,
for future, though, if
we have the mechanism if, now for future, we understand
it is to send, is to, as the board, vote to send a memo.
And then I would say and authorize the chair or ask the chair to send a memo, and I kept the format that Vicki sent. It was very good.
Okay.
Just said, we did this, and she repeated it twice, basically said, this is what we did, and then gave the quote. So they
okay, now I understand.
And the only thing I'll add is, and to the extent that we can, if we can glean what the topic is and are knowledgeable enough to say this, we may be headed towards a troubling area, or this may be some gray area, we'll alert you to that, because if we need to find that out before we get to council, then, you know, I'm trying to save everybody's time. If, for example, we've had other committees that have developed very specific courses of action, and the council have said, no, we want staff to provide, you know, to do their job and provide some professional guidance and look at it in the city policy perspective and see the implications on ordinances. And if, to the extent that we know that, we will certainly disclose that at the time and say, this is one of those things. But we just weren't familiar enough with the topic to know. And I'm just saying this as an example. It may come there, and if we could have a committee and everything works out, and at the end of the day, the council says, yes, it's a good idea, but maybe not the highest priority right now, well, then that's fine too.
When I saw that exchange, and I've had some thoughts, and I know others on the board have had, why aren't we talking about this? How can we talk about this? The city council, or just someone saying, why don't you talk about this or deal with this at PWAB? And I said, well, one, there's a lot to do. There's more things you can think of to do than possibly could deal with. And the priority goes to the – I think the priority goes to city council and also to staff. Sometimes, just they want to discuss something and how does it play, like the movie theater thing. You know, just how do you think the community will feel? I was going to suggest the following procedure. Now that I'm chair, I'm in a better position to actually pursue it. But it was getting a little longer term, you might say, work plan. What I would plan to do is, that's why I was asking, in so much as you know it, for the next, without anyone being held to it, what are the things you think are coming up in the next 6 months that are going to end up on agenda? And ask members of the board to say, what are the things you would like to see discussed? I'll give an example. And the Green City Accords is, and we deal with.
Speaking of Tree City.
Well, but you see the
yes,
idea. That would be something to revisit, in my view, on our initiative. And so if you follow me, if board members would email me, and the reason I say email is if you start talking over the phone, all of a sudden it's three or four people. Just an email of an item, not discussion, the only thing I would get back is make sure I understood it. And that list, along with having met with staff, would be I would like to propose an agenda item, just call it our agenda work plan. And as Mr. Rambo pointed out, some of the things may already we're going to be dealing with anyway. And so we have some future sense over the next 6 months.
Mr. Chairman, that's a good point. One of the concept of this urban forest management plan was embraced by the council. One of the things when we go back to the council, we're going to ask for direction on, did you intend to apply that to privately owned property, which is what we understood it to mean, or did you intend it to apply to public property? And your board would be in the domain of public property versus the Planning Commission, where they would be addressing private property. So that's one of the for example, if we were to take that, that's one of these subjects where we need to kind of get some clarification to see.
And I want to ask if actually it's so great that you're here. To me, it would be a legitimate, but I want to ask, use of staff time if I collected what everyone thought they would like us to be dealing with sometime over the next 6 months, either revisiting things, and use staff time simply to ask, Are we going to end up revisiting this or something similar to this is going to come so that we don't end up with this long duplicate laundry list?
Mr. Chair, may I propose this? Why don't we give you the long list of things we've already been charged with, and then maybe you could look at that and then sort through that. Why don't we do this in phases, perhaps? Why don't we look at what we've already committed to for our department, for example, which is the staff to your board. And then once you've done that and got familiar with it, then maybe we can have a discussion about what you think we're not getting at.
Well, it's not so much things you're not getting at. It's things that the board feels it wants to be gotten at, and we'll see where and when we can fit them in. I don't think they have to be sequential, but they may have to be.
Well, they are.
We'll see.
They're in a priority.
No, I understand the priority, but it depends. What that gets back to is how long are we, you know, willing to meet? Do we want to shorten some things? And if we're just having our discussion, it doesn't require, I mean, this is unusual to have this many staff members. You know, we usually do with whoever has the issue du jour, you know. Nothing set in concrete.
For several years, the water and collections budget. Some of these things are involuntary. We've already embarked on these things, so and we're committed to them. So.
And I some of the things that I sense. Well, I'll just say for myself, but in some conversations. In general, with actually most specifically Noah, that we want to revisit is to highlight back to the community where we are kind of, you know, people get all excited about something, and then they wonder 2 years later what happened to it. We're trying to shorten that and say 6 months later, this is what happened. If you really care, community, there's opportunities for volunteerism, show up at the council to push it. Otherwise, it's going to die.
The only thing that I'll leave you with is that from a fiscal standpoint, we're going to have to do more with less. And I'm coming into this because I just came off the heels of mid-year budget adjustments. And we're finding out there's less. Mm-hmm. My experience with this, we're going to have to cut back on the things we've already committed to do because we're not going to have the resources to deliver them, all of them. We're going to do everything that's humanly possible to deliver on the things that we can, is particularly the interest of public health and safety. But when we get into these conversations, we tend to not get in touch with the fiscal constraints that we're operating under. And I'm telling you that we're going to have to do more with less. And usually when we lay it out to, well, these are the lists of things that aren't getting done, what would you like to add to the list? it gets kind of contradictory because both lists need to be reduced.
I think everyone here fully appreciates that. Just watch it as it goes. I don't think this process is a work-generating process. It's not meant that way. It's more meant as a community educational organizing process. And I will say to the board members, are self-initiated activities, and I'm talking something that we're really doing even more than the Wi-Fi, doing it successfully and properly rests on us on doing work in between meetings where we're staffing something. Otherwise, it doesn't work because one, doesn't work because then we're dilettantes about it, and two, that's not city staff's role when we're trying to do it as a community organizing education activity in the areas. And I thought the easiest thing is revisiting things that we were charged with from the city council to ask where they are. See. But anyway, does anyone else have any questions of even what I've said, of what Bruce has said, or of each other? And I would like to go around making sure that, or just ask everyone to understand, email me with the kinds of things you'd like to get. Is it, yes?
Well, because I think there's one of my passions in community service is service, involvement in government, not to create more work for government.
Involved with was every department met a couple times to share information about their departments and collect information. And I think the role of that really was to let the community decide what the community wanted, and we just provided information and familiarized them with how our process went. At the end, though, when we had to do an alignment with our policies, particularly with our budgeting, that it required a considerable amount of time.
I know, and that was one of the problems that my interpretation from listening to the public members, not knowing really anything about the system as it started getting information. And as I said to you, everybody who says they're into research is fabulous at hunting down research that supports what they already believe. And me studying research, the first thing I look for are things that tear apart what I think I stand for, because I want to hear the argument against what I'm doing. I think that what in our discussions, the real idea was not to burden staff or council, but to see if there was enough input from the community to bring together the work, including grant writing potential, legal expertise, the things that would be able to get some background to try to explore what's happening in other cities, and that takes into account the legalities that city staff and the council would have to deal with, and doing as much screening as possible before it went to staff or council, not to waste time, but really to take responsibility for ourselves if that was something that we wanted. You know, frankly, I'm not sure if there's enough community interest to do that. But to kill it, you know, in the process before, I didn't feel that was responsible. So please understand that my view was not, definitely not to add work. And I took a lot of comments from the phone calls from the last few days about how much extra work this was going to cause. I'm not sure exactly how much time was spent telling me that it was going to cause more work. But I definitely resented the fact that the idea was trying to be squashed for that reason when the intent was to try to not put work on council or on staff to do it, but to involve the public in the responsible process of their community. And I still encourage that, and I still think that it has its place in our community. All of us have to take a little more weight. Like you said, we're all going to have to do more with less. And that means us as individuals as well.
Well, Ms. Chairman, if I can, just in closing, just say that some of these things, it's a matter of judgment, and some of these things have different implications on the process. We've had committees that have offered to author ordinances and process them, and that's nothing that we professionally or legally can not allow to happen. There are, you know, just grassroots efforts to explore opportunities for the community that really don't have broad-based implications that are readily apparent upon the community, that may be one thing. But this is one of these things where we just need to try and find a balance where we can get meaningful participation and also protect the interests of the community as a whole from a staff standpoint. That's on the next agenda, which just classifies a certain size of tree, which is considered significant vegetation. That is a quick and simple policy amendment. The broader policy piece in terms of developing the actual urban forest management plan is something that's on the work program behind all these other things on your agenda. And as they're prioritized, that is in 2008. And we disclosed that and discussed that at the council meeting, too. So it's a really kind of a two-phase thing. The quick fix, which I think will help the community considerably, the council will be considering next week. But the broader piece, the broader policy piece, and which actually leads to an amendment of the local coastal program and the zoning ordinance, that's something that's behind it, and that is a little bit more in-depth and complicated.
That's clear and clarified. Thank you very much. I ask a lot of the questions that I ask for one simple reason. As I see this board as a filtering system for the public, to notify the public of what's going on in our city and to encourage, as you say, Vicki, to get the public involved. And this is the one board, I think, that we can pretty well cover a broad base of subjects without stepping on toes, I would hope, and at least get information out there so the citizens know what's going on. And that's why sometimes I get out there a little bit, but I've always been pulled back in, so thank you very much.
At least one agenda item for next week, for next month, will be this, the board's work plan, and that's a lot of work on me to combine that information and prepare something after a discussion. And the next item, unless someone has something else to bring up, is adjournment.
I move we adjourn.
I second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's the one motion, always unanimous. Thank you. It's very helpful.
And our three nice staff over there have been very patient.
Well, they must be enjoying it. They could have left because it's like, places I've been, as soon as your thing is over.